Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. We open our show today with an update on the wildfires that are burning across San Diego County. These have forced evacuation of 121,000 people this week, with hundreds displaced in shelters overnight. In all, close to 20,000 acres have burned so far this week, forcing closure of most schools countywide, road closures, and cancellation of athletic competitions. Fortunately, the winds have lessened and the firefighters are gaining ground on the many blazes still burning. Causes of the major fires remained under investigation, and an arson task force has been assembled. However, authorities caution that causes have not yet been determined. That said, in Escondido, police have arrested two people, 19-year-old Isaiah Silva and a juvenile, after a citizen reported seeing two people set a field on fire and another reported seeing an arsonist ignite a fire at Kit Carson Park. The two suspects are not believed to be tied to the major wildfires, however, said Lieutenant Mike Kearney. About 1,000 firefighters continue battling the Cocos Fire, which has swelled to 1,200 acres and is 15% contained as of Friday. The blaze began in San Marcos and burned east to Escondido by yesterday, and some homes have been lost. The Tomahawk Fire at Camp Pendleton is 15% contained after charring 6,200 acres and forcing evacuations in Fallbrook. A new fire at the base, the Las Pulgas Fire, is now even larger at 8,000 acres. In Carlsbad, damage is estimated at $22 million, including loss of homes and a commercial building. Most tragically, the body of a fire victim was found near a transient camp, the only fatality known thus far from these fires. The Poinsettia Fire in Carlsbad has burned 600 acres and is about 85% contained. The Bernardo Fire is also 85% contained after charring over 1,500 acres. The Highway Fire near I-15 flared up briefly overnight, but is now in a mop-up stage. And a blaze in Lakeside near I-8 was halted at 17 acres this week, although it briefly forced the evacuation of 1,300 people. For the latest information on evacuations, shelters, and road closures, visit the County Emergency Services page at sdcountyemergency.com. Authorities urge that you call 911 for emergencies, but use the 211 line for non-emergency calls since the 911 system has become overtaxed during these emergencies. County health officials urge that in areas with heavy smoke, it's best to stay indoors and avoid strenuous activities.
The East County Chamber of Commerce is warning members to beware of con artists preying on businesses. The Chamber is very concerned about the impacts of our recent disaster, and we want to remind you that our staff and business community are available to assist and support your business through hardships like these, said Eric Lund, president of the Chamber. He also warned business owners about a rash of mandatory fire inspection con artists going around to businesses who are not with any fire department. They have been telling businesses that they need to allow for a fire inspection, and then they are being sent a bill for the inspection. Do not fall for this con, as the fire department does not charge for fire inspections, Eric Lund warned. Also, if you have any cleanup at your business, be sure you do not contract with workers who require payment up front, as this is another common scam after fires like we have had. Only pay partially and check to be sure the company is reputable. This is Leon Thompson reporting for East County Magazine.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at the San Diego Performance Academy. And my very special guest today is Nancy Kramer. Nancy is the co-director of the Julian Wild and Scenic Film Festival, which is a very exciting event coming up this weekend, May 16th and 17th in Julian. Nancy, tell us a little bit about the festival, how it got started and what it's all about.
Well, I've been really interested in environmental issues, and I wanted to bring some of these films to Julian. So we actually went to the Mother Film Festival up in Nevada City, which is a silver mining town, kind of like Julian.
Right.
And they have, they're in their 11th year now, and they have like 4,000 people that come to this festival.
Wow.
So Terry and I thought, well, maybe we could do this in Julian. So, and they have a package that you can buy and, you know, just show the films, and they take you through it every step, what you have to do to have a film festival in your town.
Many of these are actually award-winning films that make the circuit of film festivals around the nation. And this is your third year of producing the film festival, correct?
That's right.
So tell us about some of the interesting things people can see this year. For starters, I understand there's some big adventure films. Tell us about those.
Well, there's one called Cascada, which is a group of guys who travel in Mexico looking for perfect waterfalls to kayak over.
Kayaking over a waterfall, wow.
And these are not small waterfalls either. And the cinematography in this is great. And the cinematographers themselves, there are no slouches either. They have a picture of them just hanging by a wire across the waterfall, trying to film these kayakers that are coming down the waterfall.
Amazing. Just to read off a couple of the other things in that sort of adventure category, canyoneering, which is exploring a canyon by engaging in activities such as rappelling and rafting, surfing on a remote Arctic island, kayaking over the waterfalls, as you mentioned, and closer to home, rollerblading on Mission Bay Pacific Beach Boardwalk.
That's right. John was a neurosurgeon, and he got macular degeneration and just decided he's changing his whole life. And he sold his big fancy house and cars and everything and moved to a studio apartment in Pacific Beach. And he spends his days rollerblading on Mission Beach and Pacific Beach Boardwalk.
Fun. Now, then there's some about scientists, I understand. People out studying whales and dolphins and sloths in the rainforests as well.
That's correct. That gives you a little glimpse as to some career opportunities that are out there.
I guess so. Now, in addition to the fun things that we've talked about, there's also some films with more serious notes on environmental sustainability and social justice issues. Can you give us details about a few of those that are being shown this year?
Sure. We're showing Democracy, which is a couple of places where they're building, they have proposed to build dams, and one of them is in Turkey, which is going to flood Mesopotamia.
The cradle of civilization.
The cradle of civilization.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we have another one, Backyard, which is the story of five different families in four states who have been affected by fracking. And it doesn't preach to you. It just lets the people tell their stories and you can come to your own conclusions.
Yeah, exactly. I understand there's also one about some folks who decided to try to have Christmas without anything that comes from China. That must
right.
have been a challenge.
Tom Shaw was born in China, and his parents moved to the U.S. when he was about 8 years old. And he still has close ties to China. His grandparents live there. And he said when he goes to China, he has to defend the United States. And when he's in the United States, he has to defend China. So he decided he was going to see if he could do something to bring reality to the United States people about how much we do depend on our Chinese products. So imagine living a month without anything from China. And now imagine doing it in December when you have to buy Christmas presents and decorate your house.
Yeah, that would be difficult. Now, in addition to the films themselves, the festival kicks off Friday night, and then you have films all day Saturday and some hikes up Vulcan Mountain on Sunday. The festival also includes an option for all event passes, I understand, so you can watch the films at a very nominal, you know, a nominal fee, or you can get the all event passes. What are the other activities that are planned this weekend?
Well, we have a great party at Jeremy's on the Hill on Friday night. We're kicking off at 6 p.m.
Which is a restaurant run by a Cordon Bleu trained chef, Jeremy.
That's correct.
Chef Jeremy.
Correct.
That includes sort of farm-to-table fresh cuisine. A lot of it's locally grown, and sustainability, obviously, is on the table at that event.
Correct. That's our theme for Friday night is farm-to-table fresh. And we have a little 20-minute film, and we have hors d'oeuvres. Jeremy's making hors d'oeuvres that are all from, you know, local farms, mm-hmm. or local organic farms.
And are there any other events besides the dinner and the filmmaking?
Yes. Saturday night, we have our awards party. For the first time, we're giving awards, and the awards are gorgeous, and they were made by James Hubble.
The famous architect. Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty impressive. Who would want to have one of those sitting on your shelf?
And we have a great band and local wine and beer from the Julian area.
Well, there you go. Now, this is a nonprofit venture, and the funds raised, I understand, benefit the Vulcan Mountain Foundation. Can you share with our listeners what that's all about and what the money will be used for?
Sure. Vulcan Mountain Foundation started over 20 years ago to protect Vulcan Mountain from big housing tracts and things like that.
Right, which is a beautiful mountain up right up behind Julian there.
Yeah, it's over 5,000 feet, and it's kind of the dominant feature of the backcountry.
Right, above the pretty historic Gold Rush town, which, by the way, those of you not familiar with Julian actually is declared on the National Registry of Historic Places, I understand, as a historic gold mining town. So the Vulcan Mountain Foundation, they do what, trail preservations and hikes and nature preserves?
Yes, and they do a lot of educational programs with kids, bringing kids up on the mountain. They have a program called Kids with Cameras, and they have some remote cameras set up there also, you know, that are filming wildlife. And we get the kids up there and do trail maintenance also, but mostly walks and identification of species. And just teach them respect for the mountain and the wildlife and plant species.
On Sunday, I understand there are some hikes. Can you tell us about those?
There are. At 8 o'clock, Sally Snipes is going to lead a hike on Vulcan Mountain on the beautiful Five Oaks Trail. And then at 10 o'clock, also Ranger Bobby is going to lead a hike in the Santa Isabel Preserve East.
Sounds wonderful. Where can people go to get more information about the film festival?
You can go to our website at julianfilmfestival.com.
Okay, and again, we've been talking with Nancy Kramer, who's the co-director of the Wild and Scenic Film Festival that kicks off this Friday night and runs all day Saturday, benefiting the Vulcan Mountain Foundation. And where can people get more information about the Vulcan Mountain Foundation itself?
Vulcan, VulcanMTN.org.
Very good. And if you don't remember all of that, we also have information up about the festival in the arts and music and the festivals section at eastcountymagazine.org. Nancy, thank you very much for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Thank you, Miriam. Thank you for allowing me to share our Julian Wild and Scenic Film Festival.
Well, it's certainly a wonderful event. I've been to it myself in the past and hopefully look forward to coming again soon.
Thank you.
The old image of a drug dealer hiding on a dark street corner is gone. Now they're on the internet. The Sheriff's Department announces the bust in a sting called Operation.com. 19 arrests of suspects trying to buy and sell illegal drugs on the internet.
Even nationwide, law enforcement will have to recognize that this is a growing trend, that the traditional street corner drug dealer may be a thing of the past, and that it's easier and safer for these dealers to do it right online. Parents have to pay attention, recognize that there's this online drug sales culture, and so parents need to pay attention. If they aren't comfortable with the terminology, I'd encourage them to go to urbandictionary.com. They can learn all the words that they need to, and then pay attention to their children's internet usage and their smartphone usage, because this can be done over their smartphone just as easily and not using voice.
Some of those arrested face multiple counts. In the County News Center, I'm Michael Russo.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
San Diegans splashed, climbed, and strolled Saturday around the new gateway to our community, the county's $49 million brand-new waterfront park. The grand opening included fireworks, a 1,600-foot-long ribbon cut, and plenty of free activities for all at the 12-acre site around the County Administration Center downtown. The family park brought in people of all ages for monkeying around on a jungle gym, miniature golf, a classic car show, and, of course, a lot of splashing around. The county's newest park,
features an expansive civic green with room for 3,900 people on the north lawn and another 2,900 on the south lawn, grand promenades, and an elevated terrace that wraps around the west side of the building. A spectacular 830-foot-long fountain runs nearly the length of the park, and its jets shoot water 14 feet into the air. The fountain's basins create a 1-inch-deep splash area for children. Supervisor Diane Jacob said, "We have created a world-class landmark that will be enjoyed by residents and visitors for generations." And Mayor Kevin Faulkner said, "This was once a parking space, and now it's a people space. We are reclaiming our waterfront." The historic County Administration Center remains at the heart of the park. The building was dedicated by President Franklin D. Roosevelt back in 1938. His son James rededicated the building during the 50th anniversary celebration in 1988. And for Saturday's momentous occasion, James' widow, Mary Roosevelt, addressed the crowd. East County Magazine reporter Nadine Abbott was on hand, and here is what Franklin Delano Roosevelt's daughter-in-law, Mary Roosevelt, had to say about San Diego's past and our future.
Good morning. Distinguished county leaders, honored guests, and the citizens of San Diego. I am really honored to be here today, following in the tradition of my father-in-law, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and my husband James. They would have loved this occasion, seeing this wonderful park come to fruition. As you heard, both FDR and Jim had very strong connections to San Diego. FDR came here first when he attended the exposition in 1915. At that point in time, he was Assistant Secretary of the Navy, and the city was being considered as a possible site for the next naval training station. Two of his sons eventually trained at it many years after FDR's report recommending the site as a major Navy base, and FDR himself used it as a launching point for some of his beloved fishing trips. He came back in 1935 to attend another exposition, where he remarked, "Expositions such as this can and do express our hope of the future. Not only is the setting perfect, but the extent and the diversity of the products of American artists and mechanical genius gathered here speak eloquently of what this nation can attain on a broad scale." I think that he would have said similar remarks today if he could see what has been achieved here. In 1938, he dedicated the County Administration Center, quoting from its motto, "The noblest motive is the public's good." And I was thrilled to walk past it last night and see it for the first time. And it's been said, my husband Jim rededicated it in 1988. As Commander-in-Chief during World War II, FDR renewed his association with San Diego when he made secret wartime visits to Camp Pendleton and the Navy Hospital. In 1944, his visit was a rare gathering of some of his scattered family. Two of his sons and their families were stationed here, and he was also accompanied by my mother-in-law, Eleanor. His youngest son, John, was in the Navy, and his oldest son, my husband, was a Carson's Raider in the Marine Corps. Colonel Evans Carson himself was a patient in the hospital with other war-wounded servicemen and women, and they received a visit from the President and his family. At the end of the visit, FDR departed from San Diego for the last time, happily aboard the USS Baltimore with his little dog Fowler with him. Now we're on to the parks, and my daughter as a little girl loved to go to parks with her father. During the 1970s, we were chosen to lead the first official delegation to China following President Nixon's historic 1972 visit. Just before we were due to leave on our trip, Jim and Becky went to our local park. They both loved the big slide. But on this occasion, as somebody here this morning did, Jim lost control of his speed, flew off the end of the slide, badly damaging his coccyx bone. That was the end of our trip to China. I am so happy, though, to continue my family relationship with your city on this very special occasion. Thank you so much for inviting me to celebrate with you, and have a wonderful Saturday in the park.
This is Miriam Raftery with a report on the Lieutenant Governor's race. Seven challengers are running against Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom. The most prominent challenger is Ron Nehring, a familiar name to many people in San Diego and East County. Both of the leading candidates have extensive political careers, and both have been lightning rods for controversy. Ron Nehring has served as chair of the San Diego County Republican Party and the California Republican Party. He was also a member of the Grossmont Union High School District Board of Trustees and on the California Board of Forestry and Fire Protection. He is running on a conservative platform of lower taxes and maintaining Prop 13 protections. He says he wants to build more prisons, although he doesn't indicate where he would obtain those funds while also lowering taxes. He wants to see more competition in health care, and he supports repeal of the Affordable Health Care Act or Obamacare at the federal level. Gavin Newsom, the incumbent, served as San Francisco's youngest mayor and as San Francisco County Supervisor before his election as Lieutenant Governor in 2010. He previously started several successful businesses. As mayor, Newsom helped push through universal health care to cover 80% of San Francisco's uninsured people, and he enacted California's highest minimum wage for city residents. The liberal leader also made headlines and sparked some controversy for granting marriage licenses to same-sex couples before this was legal in California. As Lieutenant Governor, Newsom has advocated for environmental protections and clean energy. He chairs the California Commission for Economic Development, which he claims has been instrumental in creating millions of jobs, including clean tech and green tech industries. Now, as for those controversies, they range from philandering to piracy. Newsom's controversies involved his personal life. In 2007, news reports revealed that he had a past romantic affair with the wife of his former deputy chief of staff. Newsom and his wife later divorced, and he sought treatment for alcohol abuse. He has since remarried and is the father of three children. Ron Nehring is a protege of Grover Norquist, the Republican strategist famed for proposing to, quote, shrink government to a size where we can drown it in a bathtub, unquote. Nehring worked for Norquist at Americans for Tax Reform. While on the Grossmont District School Board, he once sought to convert all schools in the district to charters, a plan that was halted by fellow conservatives on the board after it was revealed that his primary backers were funded by Big Tobacco and other groups not considered child-friendly. A Center for Policy Initiatives report titled Target San Diego, the Right-Wing Assault on Urban Democracy and Smart Government, identified Nehring as an important piece on Norquist's chessboard, with the goal of radically cutting government funding, weakening organized labor, and moving aggressively to privatize public services. Nehring has also drawn some criticism for his appointments. He named Tony Krivorek to replace himself as chair of the San Diego Republican Party. Media reports revealed that Krivorek had co-founded Fairlight, an organization that grew into what Interpol described as the largest international software piracy ring on the planet. Krivorek established U.S. operations for Fairlight, where many U.S. members were arrested by the FBI. Did Nehring fail to check Krivorek's resume, or was he aware of the piracy past when he appointed him to chair the party's highest local office? As state party chair, Nehring later appointed Michael Kamborowski, an Australian, as the party's chief operating officer. Kamborowski resigned after revelations that he violated visa restrictions and had been ordered deported. Nehring also faced complaints by San Diego Republican Central Committee members who alleged misuse of expense accounts, among other complaints. Now, if you are looking for some additional choices in this race, the Democrats do have another candidate, Eric Corovar, a scientist and businessman. Republicans have two other candidates, entrepreneur David Fennell and software developer George Yang. There are also several minor party candidates, Gina Goodman, a student and Green Party candidate, Amos Johnson, a security guard and member of the Peace and Freedom Party, and Alan Reynolds, an engineer with the American Independent Party, according to the Registrar of Voters website. The top two contenders in this race will advance beyond the June primary and appear on the November ballot.
The city of El Cajon needs volunteers to help with the assembly of a one-of-a-kind, customized playground at Wells Park on June 5th and June 7th. The existing playground at Wells Park is in need of replacement. A new playground will provide youth with a new area to play and have fun. the City of El Cajon Foresters, Stoney's Kids, Boys and Girls Club of East County, and Kaboom, which is a national nonprofit organization that has built more than 2,400 playgrounds, have designed a customized playground for Wells Park. The playground, funded primarily by foresters, was created from personal drawings and local community members' input collected during a recent special design day on April 3rd. The input came from all ages, children through seniors. The playground building days will take place on June 5th and June 7th. Wells Park is located at 1153 East Madison Avenue in El Cajon. Hours will be from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on June 5th, and on June 7th, hours will be 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. We are looking for 150 volunteers, said Monica Zek, spokesman for El Cajon. Volunteers must pre-register, and those with construction skills are especially needed. If you'd like to help build the playground, call 619-873-1641. For East County Magazine, this is Leon Thompson.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week. This week's program on Destination East County includes all kinds of outdoor activities at East County parks and golf courses and a couple of film and theater events. Our preview will tell you about a mock medieval battle taking place and a healing waters festival. We also have a section of ongoing weekly or monthly activities, so let's get started. The Ramona Rodeo will be happening this weekend from Thursday, May 15th, through Sunday, May 18th, with lots of activities at the Ramona Outdoor Community Center. On Thursday, the Chamber Rodeo Mega Mixer takes place from 5:30 to 7:30 with a free slack rodeo performance following. Friday night, it's Tough Enough to Wear Pink Night. Starting at 6 to 7:30 is Mutton Busting with the Little Cowboys and Cowgirls, and then a rodeo performance starting at 7:30 p.m. On Saturday, there's a parade down Main Street starting at 10 a.m. And in the evening, Proud to Be an American Night at the Rodeo at 7:30 p.m. with a free family dance following. On Sunday, it's Kids Day, and kids get a free hat, rope, and black handkerchief while supplies last with the final rodeo at 2:30 p.m. for a fight against cancer. On Saturday, May 17th, from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., Part 2 of Mount Helix Park's Nature Sustainable Living Lecture Series will be held in the amphitheater atop Mount Helix. This free one-hour lecture on landscaping with California native plants will feature guest speaker Greg Rubin. There is no parking at the summit, so guests can walk up from the parking lots adjacent to and across from the San Miguel Fire Station, allowing plenty of time to get to the top. Coffee and pastries will be available. Peter Pan will be performed by the CYT San Diego Theater Group at the Greenfield Middle School in El Cajon, beginning Friday, May 16th, promising to be fun for the whole family. El Cajon Valley Lions Club is preparing for their fundraising event called Gunsmoke 4 on Saturday night, May 17th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Ronald Reagan Community Center in El Cajon. It's a night of gambling and carousing in an Old West saloon. The Winchester Widows reenactors will be assisting the Lions. It's tea time again, and this occasion is the Alpine Women's Club Victorian Tea on May 17th, when they celebrate their 21st annual Alpine Women's Club Scholarship Fundraiser at the historic Town Hall in Alpine. This year's entertainment will be Fashion Through Time, a show spanning a century of fashionable attire presented by members of the San Diego Costumers Guild. There will be two tea sittings, one at 11:30 a.m. and the other at 2:30 p.m. This event is open to the public, and Victorian dress is optional. This week's destination is featuring two golf events in East County this weekend. The first one takes place at the Sun Valley Golf Course in La Mesa and is sponsored by the La Mesa Park and Recreation Foundation. This day-long tournament is open to all ages and will be held on Saturday, May 17th, with two shotgun starts, 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. The event kickoff is a pancake breakfast by the Heartland Fire Department. Then the 13th Annual Cheryl M. Case Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit Stoney's Kids takes place on Saturday, May 17th on the Lakes Course at Cottonwood Golf Club. The Valley Vintage Market will host an outdoor market on Saturday, May 17th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. featuring antique and vintage home and garden decor, glassware, jewelry, and food. The event will be held rain or shine with free admission, hosted by Tucker's Valley Furniture. The market is held in the large parking lot behind the CNC Furniture Store on Main Street in El Cajon. Julian Wilde and Scenic Film Festival is now an annual event and will be held on Friday, May 16th at 6 p.m. at Julian High School. The festival presents a wide variety of international films that celebrate nature, the environment, and people who are making a difference. The festival includes a farm-to-table event Friday night, live music, awards party, and filmmaker Q&As. Proceeds benefit the Vulcan Mountain Foundation. Young Actors Theater presents a production of Bye Bye Birdie at the Encore Theater in Spring Valley. Character Conrad, the Elvis Presley type, has to say goodbye, and Kim McAfee from Sweet Apple, Ohio, is chosen to receive his kiss before he is inducted into the Army. Performances run through May 24th. The San Diego Festival Chorus presents a patriotic spectacular on Sunday, May 18th at 3 p.m. at the College Avenue Baptist Church in San Diego. East County's San Diego Festival Chorus will be performing a concert to honor Memorial Day, our country, and its military veterans. The 90-voice, 48-piece symphony orchestra presents a program that includes a posting of the colors with musicians dressed in Civil War uniforms and anthems from the four branches of our military and more. Explore Mission Trails Day event is happening on Saturday, May 17th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. and is a way for children and families to discover all about the natural world. This is a free annual event with nature trail hikes, pony rides, dozens of discovery stations, along with other hands-on activities, crafts, and animal encounters. Also at this time, the Visitor Center Art Gallery at Mission Trails has a solo artist, Dolwayne Green, photography exhibit going on for visitors. A new exhibit by the Colored Pencil Society of America San Diego chapter will be featured from May 24th through June 20th, 2014. Now for some ongoing activities in East County. There's a patio party blues jam each Sunday afternoon at Downtown Cafe on Main Street in El Cajon with musicians Chet Cannon and the committee. The party starts on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. and goes till 6:30 p.m. In downtown El Cajon at Prescott Promenade, Friday night dinner and a concert season has begun, where spectators can enjoy great music and dancing every Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m., with the exceptions of June 13th and July 4th, when concerts will be held on Thursday, June 12th, and July 3rd with the Farmers Market. Visitors to downtown El Cajon can arrive early to dine at one of the many restaurants, some with discounts for the evening, or bring their own picnic and lawn chairs. The Lake Murray Walk and Talk Group of La Mesa meets this Tuesday, May 20th, and each third Tuesday from 9 to 10:30 a.m. at Lake Murray. Led by a Mission Trails Regional Park Trail Guide, this is an informative talk and guided nature walk that meets by the boat docks. Rain does cancel this event. A star party will be held at the Sycamore Canyon Good and Ranch Preserve in Poway on May 16th and June 20th, beginning at sunset. Hosted by the San Diego Astronomers Association, the group meets at the Highway 67 staging area to view our galaxy with professionals. Guests are asked to bring sturdy shoes and a jacket. Clouds or rain cancels the event. Coffee Meister in Santee is the location for an acoustic music open mic night on Thursdays, hosted by Wooden Lips. Musicians are given a chance to practice their performance skills in front of a live audience from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m., with sign-ups starting at 5:30 p.m. Kids can fish with a ranger at Lindo Lake Park in Lakeside. This monthly activity happens every third Saturday from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Guests can arrive early and meet at Pavilion 1 and then take a walk to the best fishing spot on the lake. Now for a preview of upcoming events, a Healing Waters and Arts Festival will be held in Okumba Hot Springs on Saturday, May 24th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. The festival will take place downtown and on parts of Old Highway 80, which is a high desert setting. Activities include Kumeyaay bird singers, craft vendors, holistic healing and New Age practitioners, food, including vegetarian, multiple music venues, children's activities, geocaching, and a drum circle. There is free parking and free admission. On Saturday, May 31st, beginning at 9 a.m., downtown La Mesa Village will dress up in red, white, and blue to celebrate a salute to Old Glory at the La Mesa Flag Day Parade. The festivities kick off at 9 a.m. with pre-parade concerts by La Mesa and Parkway Middle Schools. At 10 a.m., the parade led by the United States 3rd Marine Aircraft Wing Band starts through downtown La Mesa Village. Guests can look forward to this year's Grand Marshal celebration of the Ford Mustang's 50th anniversary. Spectators are encouraged to dress in patriotic colors. The Society for Creative Anachronism will be staging a medieval battle at Potrero County Park on Saturday and Sunday, May 24th through 25th, from 11 a.m. to sunset. This visit to the Barony of Calafia is a free event with vendors, staged fighting events, and instruction. Visitors are invited to wear period attire to fit in with the festivities. That's all for this week. All of these events and more can be found on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at www.eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is supported by our listeners and with a community enhancement grant from San Diego County. See you around, East County!
All some California moms may want for Mother's Day is a paid day off when they don't feel well. A statewide campaign called 10,000 Mothers Strong, Paid Sick Days Now, is being launched in support of pending legislation that would grant all California workers at least 3 days of earned sick leave per year. Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez says up to 6 million working Californians lack access to paid sick days, and the majority are women.
Who have to risk losing their job or not being able to pay rent that month because they have to take hours off at no fault of their own.
The Healthy Workplaces Healthy Families Act would allow sick leave to be used for personal illness, to care for a sick family member, or as leave to allow domestic violence and sexual assault survivors time to recover. Gonzalez says the state must adapt to the reality facing today's working families in this economy. They can no longer rely on stay-at-home parents in times of illness.
This lack of earned sick days is a tremendous problem, straining the pocketbooks of working families, the health and well-being of the workplaces and schools, and the sustainability of our health care system.
The report released Thursday by Next Generation shows only 61% of Americans working in the private sector receive paid sick leave. Those with greater access to paid sick days tend to be full-time and high-wage earners. White, Black, and Asian non-Hispanic workers are also more likely than Hispanic workers to have access to sick time. For Public News Service, I'm Lori Abbott.
A marijuana dispensary in Lakeside was burglarized Friday night. Sheriff's deputies apprehended Wendell Coleman, who was hiding in nearby bushes, and charged him with the crime, according to East County News Service. Coleman had a large amount of marijuana and baked marijuana goods in his possession. But soon thereafter, dispensary owner Blanca Estella Chavez was also arrested. The sheriff's licensing unit served Ms. Chavez with a cease and desist order at the scene after investigators found that the dispensary was unlicensed and charged Ms. Chavez with possession with intent to sell and possession of concentrated marijuana. The San Diego County Narcotics Task Force is assisting with the ongoing investigation. Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Leon Thompson.
The curtain may soon be rising at the East County Performing Arts Center in the city of El Cajon. Now the city has issued a request for statement of interest for groups interested in using the theater. The deadline for submittal is Monday, June 16th at 5 o'clock p.m. Anchor tenants or partners should be willing to utilize the facility for substantial periods of time during at least the next 5 years. The Rock Church has already made a proposal to the city, which is under consideration, and the city is now reaching out to see if there may be other interested parties. The City Council has expressed intent to renovate and reopen the Performing Arts Center in the near future, with a likely opening in 2015, according to a statement issued by the city. The building has been closed for several years, falling into disrepair. Prior to completing the renovation design plans or commencing construction, the city wishes to determine if there are potential long-term tenants in the marketplace. City Manager Doug Williford says, "Reopening of the East County Performing Arts Center will be an exciting event not only for El Cajon, but for the entire region. With a 1,145-seat capacity, this is one of the largest indoor event centers within the region and has a long history of being host to many memorable performing arts and entertainment events." Williford concluded, "As we prepare the center for its bright future, it is important to the city that we investigate important opportunities to ensure the facility's long-term success. For more information or a request for statement of interest from potential anchor tenants, visit the city's website at www.cityofelcajon.us. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
This is Miriam Raftery with an update on last week's story on a controversial judicial race. As we reported, Carla Keene, a candidate for Superior Court judge in San Diego, put up billboards to inform voters about judicial admonishments and a conviction for alcohol-related reckless driving involving her opponent, Superior Court Judge Lisa Shaw. Now Judge Shaw has issued a statement defending her record. In addition, Clear Channel has removed the billboards, stirring up new controversies over free speech issues in judicial elections. The billboards stated that Keene was the only candidate not convicted of a crime, adding, "No one is above the law, not even a judge." Clear Channel issued a statement indicating the billboards did not meet the company's protocol for political ads. But Keene's campaign spokesman, Jeff Powers, said Clear Channel has claimed it removed the billboards because they were attack ads and that Clear Channel had the right to take them down. Powers said, "We believe this is a First Amendment issue. The law and the First Amendment do not allow the government to discriminate based on the content of an ad," he said. "And we also believe Clear Channel is impacting Carla's First Amendment rights by choosing to not air one side of an important issue." He added that the campaign may file a complaint over the matter. Clear Channel has previously been embroiled in other billboard controversies. After being petitioned by progressive activist groups, the company removed 145 billboards paid for by an anonymous donor. Those billboards stated that voter fraud is a felony, but some felt the message was intended to intimidate voters. Clear Channel also removed billboards for a pro-Palestinian organization seeking defunding of the Israeli military. Clear Channel also owns numerous radio stations that feature mostly conservative talk show hosts such as Rush Limbaugh. The company has been accused of putting progressive stations onto channels with weak signals and canceling some progressive programming shortly before elections. The company donates mostly to Republicans. Although judicial races are nonpartisan, Keene is endorsed by the Democratic Party and Shaw is endorsed by Republicans. Keene has questioned why Shaw received a well-qualified rating from the County Bar Association, while Keene was rated qualified, given Shaw's past conviction and admonishments. In addition, Keene obtained her law degree from the University of California, Hastings, while Shaw's was from a law school not accredited at the time. Now, last week, we interviewed Carla Keene, who is a career prosecutor and a former Army captain, on our radio show. We issued an invitation to Judge Shaw as well. She responded that she was not available due to scheduling issues, but Judge Shaw has now provided an extensive written response clarifying that her conviction, in fact, was expunged. She also offered an explanation of the prior conviction and judicial admonishments, as well as details on her 35 years of judicial experience. She has served as a judge since 1985 and before that as a deputy district attorney. She sat in every department of the San Diego Superior Court and currently is covering civil, criminal, and family matters. She's been endorsed by all 125 Superior Court judges, as well as by City Attorney Jan Goldsmith, the San Diego Lawyers Club, Lincoln Club, and other groups. Shaw is past president of the San Diego Deputy District Attorneys Association, and she was voted Judge of the Year in 1993 by the San Diego County Probation's Department, as well as a Judicial Excellence Honors by the Deputy District Attorneys Association in 1995. Judge Shaw says that while going through a divorce and caring for two elderly parents, she was arrested back in 2007 and pled guilty to a reckless driving with DUI conditions. She stated, "A divorce makes us vulnerable. Still, no excuse. I apologize to every member of my bench, family members, and business associates. I volunteered to speak at civic groups, volunteered to work in family court for 3 years, and after I completed 3 years of probation, I was granted an expungement, dismissal, in June 2011 of my conviction." Shaw ran unopposed in 2008 after the conviction, and she received an admonishment from the Committee on Judicial Performance. She says her endorsers were aware of her past and that she's been rated well qualified by her peers on the County Bar Association. She credits her years of service, work ethic, and willingness to work any assignment for their forgiveness and understanding. As for the admonishments, Judge Shaw said one of the others occurred in 1992 when she was presiding over a dependency case in juvenile court to decide whether parental rights would be terminated to make a child eligible for adoption. She received the admonishment, Judge Shaw says, for holding a hearing to determine if the mother's appellate attorney had shared confidential testimony outside the courtroom. Although she recused herself from the case, she received an admonishment for exceeding her authority in ordering the attorney to appear, she said. The other admonishment happened in 1995, during a hearing at which a woman sought a restraining order against her husband's ex-wife, accusing the woman of entering her home and threatening her. Shaw said the ex-wife acted angrily and was aggressive toward the new wife in court and did not stop despite being cautioned. Believing the petitioner to be at risk, she remanded the respondent for contempt, and when an altercation happened in a hallway, had the woman transported to county medical health. Judge Shaw says she was admonished for not having followed formal contempt proceedings. While Carla Sheen has sharply criticized the county bar's judicial rating system, Judge Shaw praised it, concluding that the rating protocol is thorough, arduous, and time-consuming. Now, ultimately, voters will have the final say in this race, casting their ballots in June to determine which of these candidates will be the next San Diego Superior Court judge.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
Nearly half of California's birds are migrating north to a forest that's under threat from climate change and development. A new report on what's been called North America's bird nursery says at least half of Canada's boreal forest must be kept free of large-scale industrial development. Dr. Fritz Reed with Ducks Unlimited says this is an achievable goal since most of the forest is still intact.
So it's one of the only places on the globe that you can actually get in before major development and do something that allows development but allows it to be done in a responsible, sustainable way.
The report says it's important to conserve big blocks of habitat. Reed explains interconnected protected areas are necessary to maintain the diversity of species and support healthy populations. He says protecting the water supply is also a big concern. The report also says bird-related recreation is big business. Dr. Jeff Wells with the Boreal Songbird Initiative says in 2013, bird-watching trips and equipment generated more than $40 billion in revenue, or about five times the year's total revenue for Major League Baseball.
On top of that, birds are important plant pollinators, pest controllers, distributors of seeds that maintain forest diversity and healthy forests, and they're some of our top environmental indicators.
The report entitled Boreal Birds Need Half, Maintaining North America's Bird Nursery and Why It Matters, was released jointly by the Boreal Songbird Initiative and Ducks Unlimited. It says bird populations already are coping with the effects of climate change, which has reduced their habitat for nesting and breeding and altered their migration patterns throughout North America. For Public News Service, I'm Lori Abbott.
This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation.
El Cajon police have shot a man who tried to take his children at gunpoint. Jose Albert Garcia later aimed his weapon at officers, said Lieutenant Tim Hinton with the El Cajon police. Officers responded to a 911 call from Garcia's estranged wife, who told officers he was at her door demanding that she give him their two children. Officers arrived and spoke with Garcia in the driveway, but he was uncooperative and refused to follow orders. Lieutenant Hinton said he showed officers that he had a gun in his waistband and eventually drew the gun. Trained crisis negotiators tried to reason with Garcia for approximately 90 minutes. According to Lieutenant Hinton, Garcia was threatening himself with the gun and then started waving the gun around. Less lethal beanbag rounds were used to try to subdue Garcia, but they were ineffective. Garcia ultimately pointed his gun towards officers and pulled the trigger, but the gun malfunctioned and did not fire. Officers repeatedly ordered him not to point the gun at officers, Lieutenant Hinton said, adding, "He racked the gun and once again pointed the gun at officers." At this point, three officers fired their weapons at Garcia, striking him in the chest. Garcia was taken into custody and transported to a local hospital where he underwent surgery. His condition is not known at this time. The personnel involved in the shooting have worked as police officers for 7, 13, and 19 years. Garcia will face charges of assault with a deadly weapon on a police officer. This is Leon Thompson reporting for East County Magazine.
The Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce here in East County has created a fund to help people who were evacuated during the 2014 wildfires in San Diego County. "We all have to do our part," said Ben Colasso, president of the chamber. "If we raise $5,000, I will match that contribution with $5,000 of my own," he said. You can make the donation by visiting GoFundMe.com and put in the Chaldean American Chamber, or you can find a link to it at our website at eastcountymagazine.org.
World-famous Harlem Globetrotters have entertained millions of fans in 122 countries over the past 88 years. Now the team, famed for its comedy basketball routines, is bringing fun summer basketball clinics to kids in San Diego and East County. The Harlem Globetrotters are teaming up with 24-Hour Fitness in the Santee, College Grove, and Balboa areas for clinics coached by Globetrotter star players. The two-hour clinics will be offered mornings and afternoons during late June at each of these locations. Globetrotter star Dizzy Grant says, quote, "It doesn't matter what skill level you are, every kid will have a blast at our summer clinics." The clinics not only teach basketball skills, but also how to be a good teammate, both on and off the court. Plus, kids get photos and an autograph session with Globetrotters players. Clinics are open to boys and girls of all skill levels, ages 6 to 12. For more information and to find the clinic nearest you, visit www.harlemglobetrotters.com/clinics. Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Ed Barena.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.